Let's talk to Clem Chambers. He is the founder of ADVFN. Very good morning to you, young Clem.
Morning to you, Nick.
Right, equity markets. Obviously, lots going on at the moment. You've been bearish. Are you still bearish?
I think we're in a crash now.
Right. Well, is that the end of the interview?
Yeah, might as well be. You know, I'm out in 75% cash now. I kind of have a habit of doing this the last few years, and you know, maybe it only drops 15%, but it's at least 50-50. This is the big one.
Wow. Okay, so that's a proper headline. Now, in terms of a market crash, how much lower should we go?
6,000.
Okay, so that's quite a punchy call. And what about on Wall Street?
20,000.
Okay, so you are absolutely super duper bearish now.
It's a crash. It's a crash. If it isn't a crash, it isn't a crash. But this is not like a little correction or a jiggling about. It's either we've either had the bottom or it's going to go a hell of a long way. And I think the chances of it dropping on a long, long way are enough to get out of three quarters of my positions.
Right. Now, based on your quite aggressive stance on this, okay, and, you know, people always say after the event, oh, I picked the market top. In my experience, picking market tops is extremely difficult. What's giving you this drive in terms of your thoughts that we're going to have this massive move to the downside? Is this a technical situation, fundamental, political, geopolitical?
Well, as you might guess, it's not as if I'm not looking at everything all the time. I mean, if you look at the NASDAQ and you don't see a bubble, I think you need to clear your glasses. I mean, if you look at 2000 and you look at today and you look at the chart over, say, I don't know, 25 years, I mean, it's a vertical, right? It's not quite a bubble vertical, but it's pretty near as damn it. Yeah. So that's always worrying. Any chart that kind of looks like it's going to go vertical, that's always a bit worrying. I look at my portfolio, and because I have so many different positions, they start to behave like an index. So I take notice of that. And also because they start to behave like an index, when my portfolio isn't suddenly stops tracking the index in some way or other, I start to think, well, something's going on here. Something's a bit weird. And quite often when my portfolios diverge from the index, that's a very big warning sign that the market's about to crash, because then the actual broad market has been driven by a few stocks that I don't own. And that means it's very fragile because it's only been driven by a very small group of select companies. And that often bodes badly for the future. If you look at the charts, I mean, the charts are really horrific. I mean, the market is giving a good steer because it's been so unvolatile. It's just gone in a straight line up like that. Yeah. I mean, very little volatility. So when it breaks, you've got to ask yourself, whoa, something happened here. I mean, is this just another one of those temporary little dip situations like January, February? Or is it the big one? January, February, I think some people might remember, I was going, well, you've got to be careful here. There's something really badly gone wrong, and this could be a crash. Well, this is the same situation. This could be a crash. There's only two ways of looking at it, as far as I'm concerned. If the central banks do not step in, which they've been doing, if they don't step in, this will crash. And if you think about what the situation is, we're in a rising interest rate situation, but that's bad, but not as bad as the reverse QE. And I keep coming back to this. You cannot simply take out $2-3, maybe even as much as $4 trillion out of the world economy and expect the stock market to go up. Now, that $2-4 trillion, that is being taken out, which will be taken out at $80 billion a month for maybe two, maybe as much as 3 years, at least 18 months more, that money is probably levered as well. So that credit-making money, it could be as much as 10 times as much money as created by that original QE, because the banks have taken it and lent it out. Now, personally, I don't think they've done much of that lending out. They've just put it in carry trades and used that to rebuild their balance sheet. But nonetheless, even if it's unlevered, trillions of dollars of liquidity coming out of the market is going to be a drag. Well, this is the drag. The reverse QE of the Fed hit $80 billion a month. This month, it's been going up from like 10 a year ago. It's been ticking up. Now it's full blast, $80 billion a month. Well, funnily, when it started, the market threw a bit of a tantrum And the Fed pulled the lever, the stop lever on reverse QE, and pushed it forward and gave us some QE over that period. And funnily enough, the market bounced and everyone went, oh, phew, that's fine. And the market rose up and went to the highs that we saw quite recently. But nonetheless, underneath the hood, that reverse QE has been going and been carrying on. Now, if the Fed doesn't pull the lever to stop reverse QE and doesn't push it to pump liquidity back in the short term, it's going to crash. Now, if they do that, they can't keep doing that. It's just not something, it's a tweak. It's not a reverse of course.
Yep.
So in February, it was a tweak. It worked. Everybody who's so used to the market going up went, oh, look, buy the dip. Yeah, isn't that great? Well, at some point, the market's going to go, I don't care what you do with a reverse QE and forward QE and tweaking. This thing is going down. And when that does, it's going to crash. The market crashes. It always has. It always will. A crash will come. You don't want to be around when it happens. This is probably it.
Okay, let's just wrap up a few words on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. I read over the weekend that they reckon ICOs, potentially only 5% of the current ICOs sort of make any money. Any developments in your world on that?
Well, I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? Rather like AIM companies then, isn't it?
Boom, boom.
So anyway, apart from ICOs or AIM companies, ICOs is a fantastic mechanism for small companies to raise money. Yes, the initial run was probably, funded a load of, let me find a nice word for shysters, shall I? But then rather like the AIM market, isn't it? But, you know, I think that ICOs will come back at some point because they will actually fund proper companies. They will be regulated a lot more than they were last year. And you're already seeing that in America. If you want to do an ICO, you basically got to go through the listing process that you would have to go through to get on the OTC markets. So there is regulation there, is regulation coming, and it will be a very strong area because it's a very, very kind of interesting way of raising money from the general public, and the world needs that sort of mechanisms. But the interesting thing about Bitcoin right now is that the volatility has vanished. It is going horizontally in a tiny, tiny, tiny range. It is quite freaky. I've got a few explanations for it, none of which are based on anything more than pulling it out of my ear. But it's quite freaky. It is such a tight range that there's no kind of random explanation for it. So I think certain people with an interest in getting a ETF are artificially, or rather not artificially, but are manipulating the market to have very little volatility in it so that they can try to get an ETF on the basis that when the SEC says, hey, this thing is way too volatile to have an ETF, they can point at it and go, look, where's the volatility? There's no volatility here, Mr. SEC. That's a pretty dangerous game to play with SEC because those guys are really smart and they'll have people like that guts for garters. But nonetheless, if you've got a better explanation for an incredible lack of volatility in Bitcoin the last week or so, I'd like to hear it because it is supernaturally unvolatile and very, 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 very strange. Now, it's a one-way bet for anybody who's a speculator because once it breaks out of this range, it's going to go on a journey in that direction quite a long way. And it's set up to explode or slump. One way or the other. So it's worth watching for those guys that can jump on or jump off of Bitcoin because it's in this amazingly tight range that doesn't obey the laws of physics, or not the market physics anyway. So something's up there, something's coming over the hill. Like they say in the old cowboy movies, it's quiet, too quiet.
On that note, Clem, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much for your time. That's Clem Chambers, the founder of ADVFN.
Cheers, Nick.